Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you so much for this time to study your word. Thank you for Will, Auntie Mercy, and Auntie Grace. We pray that you'll speak through your word by way of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Hey, Jonathan, how are you doing, sir?
Pastor. What's this? Who's this?
He's being recorded.
Oh, yeah. Recorded.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. You can leave it there. So.
Okay. Now, what's this week's lesson about? Power struggle. The scripture says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. What does that mean to you? Practically speaking, do we see any example of this in the Bible? Just be practical. We're talking about pride goes before destruction. Do we see anybody that was lifted up with pride and at the end result was destruction? Can we apply this text to anyone in the Bible? Many people, huh? Give me some examples.
I think of Samson, but then of course he repented.
Yes.
He was kind of really proud.
Yeah. Oh, he was still proud though. That's good. Excellent example. Samson. He thought he was strong. he got tricked. He told Delilah his secret. He messed up. Proud. Strongest man. Pride. Go before destruction. Who else? Before we get into the Bible.
Peter saying, "Lord, I'll never deny you."
Ah, this is excellent. I love this one. This is really, really something. Hey, Auntie. They have two attending roles for me. I don't know. Thank you. I like this example. Now, Peter. Peter said, "Lord, you know I won't deny you." Now, what do you think about Peter's? Let's look at Peter. What do you think about his example? Now, Peter is very, very interesting. Do you think Peter meant, when he said it, do you think he meant it? What do you think? Do you think Peter meant that?
I think he had the confidence that he would not.
I really believe he meant that. Peter said, "I won't deny it." But you know what? It's so easy for us to say things until we face with that particular trial or test. We don't know what we will do. You don't know what you will do. Not for God's grace. Man. Yeah, that's an excellent example. Pride all over the Bible. Lucifer, Peter, disciples, James and John, they wanted position, who's going to be on the right side and the left, all kind of stuff. Pride. Go before destruction and the haughty spirit before a fall. What's the main story the Sabbath school lesson focuses on this week? The main story. Well, what's the main story? Try to remember. Try to remember the main focus. The main story was about Korah. Korah and his rebellion. Remember that? Before we get into that, I want to address something we looked at, I think 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago we were talking about, if you were here, we're looking at sin and how a person caught in adultery, if you're caught in adultery, that person was supposed to be stoned to death. And 3 weeks ago, we looked at the sin of David. What happened to David? Well, was David stoned? Was David killed? And we were looking at that. And we were asking the question, why? I mean, why wasn't David, because if it was anybody else, that person was supposed to be stoned. But why was David spared? And I was reading some things a few days ago. Very interesting. Patriarchs and Prophets. The chapter 71 that deals with David and sin and repentance. Listen to what she says. Talking about pride. She says, "It was the spirit of self-confidence and self-exaltation that prepared the way for David's fall." I'm confident. I can do what I want. I'm a king. Pride. Flattery. and the subtle allurements of power and luxury were not without effect upon him. So the luxury he had, the power he had, it affected him mentally. Hey, I'm powerful, I'm a king, I can do what I like. Hey, powerful. Intercourse with surrounding nations also exerted an influence of evil. According to the customs, now listen to this. According to the customs prevailing among Eastern rulers, crimes not to be tolerated in subjects were uncondemned in the king. Listen to this. The monarch was not under obligation to exercise the same self-restraint as the subject. So it's saying here that in that society, the king was, of course, was a higher position. And she says here, crimes not to be tolerated in subjects, the regular common man, were uncondemned in the king. So the king, so the common man, right? The common man, you know what I mean? We can do what we want, we can be condemned. But as a king, you can do certain things and get away with it. You can't touch the king. You can't touch the king. But why wasn't he stoned? Of course we know this. She says here, page 722, she says, the sentence of death, because he was supposed to die, the sentence of death was transferred from David to the child of his sin. Wow. This is very interesting. She says here, the sentence of death, because he was supposed to die, God transferred that sentence to the son that he had in this adulterous affair. Isn't that really something? I think to myself, then I mean, why did God do that? I mean, clearly in Leviticus it says, those committing adultery, the one committing it, the one caught in the act or whatever, both of them, the male and the female, you stoned. God transferred. To me, that's just so deep. Yeah.
Maybe it's because hurting the child will hurt more than the actual person. I mean, the person.
Okay. I like that. Hurting the child.
I mean, I'm sure you can relate to that a little bit.
Hurting the child will affect the king more, huh? Mm. Cause grief and anguish. It's possible. Still, though, supposed to be killed according to the Bible. So that's the answer there. The sin was transferred. The death was transferred. And he was a king, so he could get away with certain things. All right, let's go to Sunday's lesson. Let's go to Sunday's lesson. Number 16. Let's go there. Let's go to number 16. Numbers chapter 16, verse 1. Feel free to talk, comment, question, whatever you like. Numbers 16, verse 1 says, now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous, listen to the language, famous in the congregation, men of renown. These weren't just regular men that Korah got on his side. These were men who were influential. These weren't just regular people. Men of renown, famous. The Bible actually used the word famous. I like that. Famous. Famous in the congregation, men of renown, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. What's going on here? What's going on in these few verses? How? Very, very alarming. What's going on? What was that? Higher position. Okay? We see jealousy here, or anger. So, hey, you take too much on yourself. Let's get some context here. Let's get some context. This is really, really interesting. Read this in the Patriarchs and Prophets. Oh, man, it's awesome. Korah. Do you know what relation? How is Korah related to Moses? Anybody remember how he was related? Anybody remember? The one who was rebelling. You know that he's actually related to Moses? Fascinating. Listen to what she says. Korah, this is chapter 35, page 395. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 395. She says, Korah, the leading spirit in this movement was a Levite of the family of Kohath and a cousin of Moses. Cousins. Now, this is very, very interesting. Cousins. Do you know in life, sometimes it's family or the ones that are closest to you? I can say, get on your nerves. Family members, man, I'm telling you, because they're family, especially immediate family, brothers and sisters, or parents, get on your nerves. And what Satan sometimes does, frequently, he uses those who are closest to us. Let's get real practical. In heaven, right? In heaven. Now listen to this. Who was the closest created angel to Jesus? Exactly, Lucifer, right? No angel got closer to Jesus than Lucifer. Right? You had the Trinity, then you had Lucifer. Highest ranking. The closest being to Jesus in heaven brought about a downfall. Right? Satan does the same thing on earth. He understands those that are closest to us can bring us down, can discourage us, so forth and so on. And so here Satan decides he's going to use someone in Moses' genealogy or his family line, Korah. Satan says, I'm going to use Korah to bring Moses down, family member. Now let's look at this. The Sabbath school lesson asks a question here. It says, what else was behind the rebellion? Why, too, were these charges so utterly false? We see them rebellion. They're telling Moses, you're taking too much. You're bringing too much upon yourself. Who do you think you are? Basically, that's what they're saying. Let's go to number 16, verse 12. 16, verse 12. Listen to this. Now you have to really read these verses. Really pay attention to these verses. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. They're supposed to come up. They said, they're defiant. We're not going to come up. It is a small thing that thou hast brought, listen to this, that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us. Verse 14. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. Let's go back to verse 13. It is a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey. Now let's really think about this. Let's really think about this. What are they talking about here? What's going on in these verses here? In verse 13 particularly, when it says, it is a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that flows with milk and honey. What land are they talking about? Well, what land is this? Egypt. Is this the Canaan land?
Egypt.
Now this is really something. What this mean? Let's get practical. What does this mean? Well, when it says when these people rebel and they say to Moses, hey, you took us out of land flowing with milk and honey. That land was not flowing with milk and honey. In a practical way, what's going on in this text? What are they saying to brother Moses here? They're saying, hey, man, we had a good time in sin. We had a good time in Egypt. Let's go back. Matter of fact, keep your marker there in that verse. Let's go somewhere else. Because this is not the first time they brought up this. Let's go to Numbers 11. Go to Numbers 11. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. The Bible says here, verse 1, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Now go to verse 5. Listen to what they say. We remember, have mercy, the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now, listen to this. But now, our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Absolutely remarkable. What's going on here? These people are complaining, right? Fascinating. God is the one who is actually doing the feeding. Can you imagine God literally providing lunch, breakfast, and dinner for you? How many of you would complain? Are you kidding me? Not your wife, not your husband, not your friend. God is preparing your meal, and these people say, hey, man, we remember what it was like in Egypt. We remember the fish, that good food, the melons, the leeks, cucumbers. They're missing sin. We know in the Bible that Egypt is a symbolic of sin. They said, man, we remember how it was back in the day, sinful. They want to go back. Go back, let's go look at another one. Go to Numbers chapter 14. On and on, these Egyptians, these Israelites. Numbers chapter 14, listen to this. Verse 1, Numbers 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel mourned against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Keep on talking about Egypt. What's up, Kyle? Or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Listen to me. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Well, please respond to that. Well, what's going on? Somebody give me a response, please.
There has Moses to be a response. Put up with a lot.
Was that?
Moses put up with a whole lot.
I can't even imagine that. How can one man put up with all that? I don't even like when one person complains. You ever been somewhere around people that just complain and complain and complain? This is not wrong, this is wrong, this is not right. Change this, change that. Yeah, I don't like that. I'm just one person, but he has a multitude, Jonathan, a multitude. Let's go back to sin. Let's go back to bondage. They're actually liberated. They want to go back. They go so far and they say, hey, let's make us a captain. Let's get our own leader. Forget Moses. Let's make our own leader and let's go back to sin, to bondage. Are you kidding me? They say that in Numbers 14, in Numbers 11, in Numbers 16. Always wanted to go back. You know that's a lesson for us? It shows us human nature. At birth, we were given a sinful nature at birth, right? Therefore, thanks, Auntie. Sinful nature, we are prone to wander. We are prone to draw back to sinful desires, even though we might be converted, filled with the Holy Spirit. But because we have a leader just like them, our leader is Christ. But because we're so in love with sin, we want to draw back. Prone to wonder, oh how I feel it. Well, what's the name of that song? Can't think of it now, but it's a hymn. We're prone to wonder, just like the Israelites. But we can have victory through Christ, amen? We can have victory. So we see examples here in the Bible how the children of Israel, they wanted to go back. They rebelled. They called Egypt a land flowing with milk and honey. Absolutely something. Let's go to Monday's lesson. Like so much I want to cover. Little time I'm trying to pick out which one to do. Alright, let's look at this. Monday's lesson says, in reality, however, who were they truly rebelling against? Let's go to number 16:11. Little verse 11. 16:11. This is interesting. Number 16:11 says, for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? So this is Moses, of course. So the Bible tells us in verse 11 that they're actually rebelling against who? Okay, now this is very interesting. In the Bible, they're rebelling against God, they're rebelling against the Lord. In the Bible, do we have anyone in the Bible who sinned and actually blamed God for their sin? Or blame God for the temptation to sin? Do we have that example anywhere in the Bible? Some people sinned and they, you know, they say, God, you know, because blah, 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 blah. Yeah. That's really interesting to me. Adam and Eve, right? Eve blamed the serpent. And Adam blamed the woman. In actuality, of course, they were blaming God. God, if it wasn't for that woman you created, I would not have fallen to sin. But in the blood of God. Now these people here, in Numbers chapter 16, they're actually rebelling against God. But of course, they're rebelling against Moses. God is the man's servant, the prophet, led by God. So this is who they're rebelling against. Now look at this here. Read Numbers 16, 15 to 35. Notice Moses' words in verses 28 to 30. What is Moses saying that shows what the real issue was? Let's go there. We're not going to read all the verses, but let's go to verse 28. And Moses says, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that pertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Of course, these are the 250. They got those censers, remember? You know the story. But let's go back to this question. What, in those three verses, what is Moses saying that shows what the real issue was? What is Moses saying here that shows what is the real issue? What's the core issue that's going on with Korah? What is Moses saying here? Exactly. That's the core issue. Moses and Aaron, they were not just appointed by somebody else in the camp. They weren't appointed by an elder or a deacon or whatever. They were appointed specifically by God. Now that's on a whole different level. When you're appointed by God for something to do, that's totally different than somebody voting you on the board and approving it. That's totally different. When God calls you and puts you in a position, who is man to rebel against him? So Moses says, hey, he says, okay, what we're going to do? We're going to find out if myself and Aaron, if we are called by God, we're going to have a little test, you can say, a contest or whatever. Let's see what happens. Let's see what God does. If God opens the earth and you're swallowed up, you know that I am called. Let's see what takes place here. Very interesting. Listen to this. Verse 31, and it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder, split apart, that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive, have mercy, into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. What? Now you have to understand this thing. This is absolutely nasty, man. They're standing, the earth opens, and they get swallowed up in the pit, and then the Bible says God opens the earth and he closes it back. You know how nasty that is? Closing that blood splattering everywhere. Probably blood squirted up. You know, that's nastiness, man. God doesn't play around when it comes to his leaders. No joke. You remember that story in, can't remember, 1 Kings or 2 Kings? They were laughing at Elisha. Those kids, what happened to those kids? Those she-bears came, tore them apart. No, you don't mess, you don't play with God's manservant. You don't play with those ministers. They're called by God. God opened up the earth, swallowed them up. What do you think about that? As it pertains to God's justice and his love, and he's all loving, he's so nice. We have a view of God, that God is so awesome. I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, right here, it looks like, man, God is really serious. He's not playing around. It seems like he's mean. What do you think about that kind of God? What do you think? What do you think? Do you think he's mean? What do you think about that? That's not mean. This is judgment. It's judgment. These people knew better. They're going against Moses, so forth and so on, against the leadership. They should have known better. God is fair. They had time. They could have repented. I'm going to read something to you from this spirit of prophecy. Listen to this. Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Don't miss this thing. Don't miss this. Page 396. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 396. It says here, Korah and his fellow conspirators were men who had been favored with special manifestations of God's power and greatness. These people were blessed by God. The people who eventually went against Moses, man, they were blessed by God. God blessed them. Listen to this. They were of the number who went up with Moses into the mount and beheld the divine glory. You can't miss this. These people who are now rebelling, they actually beheld the divine glory of God. But, have mercy. But, you know something's going to change when you put that conjunction, but. But since that time, a change had come. Oh, man. Since that time, they saw God's glory. They went up to the mountain. They saw his glory. After that time, something happened. A temptation. Slight at first. I like the way she words it. She said, a temptation comes. She said it was slight at first. Not out in the open, not blatant, not great, not huge. Just slight. A little bit here. A little compromise here. A little baby step. Slight. Now listen to what she says. Slight at first, temptation, had been harbored. Kept it inside. Harbored. Thought upon. Pondered on. Harbored and had strengthened as it was encouraged. until, listen to this, you got to follow how she's building. First she says here, it was a temptation slight, little by little. It was harbored, it was held upon. And then it strengthened as it was encouraged. So it was encouraged, it strengthened, it harbored, it manifested itself, built. Until, listen to what she says, until their minds were controlled by, who do you think? You got it. You understand the depth of this right here? And they ventured upon their work of dissatisfaction. She's saying here, these people want special manifestations of God's power. Once beheld the divine glory of God. But because they came to temptation. Now, do you know that the same thing can happen to us? We can be in the presence of God, come to church every Sabbath, man, really loving it. But if we invite just a little temptation, slight, we play with it, we let it harbor, let it manifest itself, let it grow. We're going to strengthen, exactly. We can find ourselves in the same exact situation as Korah and his companions. They actually saw the glory of God. No one here had ever seen that. She says their minds were controlled by Satan. Listen to this. Professing great interest in the prosperity of the people, they first whispered their discontent to one another. Listen. And then, two leading men of Israel. Now you have to listen to what they're doing. What happened was, Korah and his friends, they started whispering. They said, you know what, you guys, Moses and Aaron, they're doing too much. They started whispering amongst themselves first, and then they started to build, they started to spread. They started going to the leading men, the Bible says, men who were famous in the congregation, men of renown. They started going to these men that were famous, and they said, hey, they started telling them, you know what, Moses and Aaron, they're taking too much, they're doing too much, they think they're better than us in a sense. It started to spread. Korah was building and building up his team. Now listen to how deep this thing goes. Sin, listen to this. Do not miss this thing. Their insinuations were so rapidly received that they ventured still further. It was so rapidly received, they were spreading these rumors or whatever, these lies about Moses and Aaron. It was so rapidly received, spreading. Listen to what happened. Still further and further, and at last, they really believed, don't miss this thing, they really believed themselves to be actuated by zeal for God. Do you understand this thing? This thing shows us how deep sin can get. She says here, they really believe themselves to be actuated by zeal for God. What does that mean? What does that mean? What is she saying? What was that?
They thought they were doing right. They deceived themselves into believing that they were God.
Exactly. They thought, man, we're so zealous for God, we have all the zeal for God, but they're rebelling against God's servants. And now that, this is really, really interesting. How do you believe that you're doing something for God and you're rebelling against God's calling leadership? See, that's how far the mind. Once you play with temptation, man, Satan can lead you so far astray when you get to a point in your life, man, it's not that bad. I'm actually going to do a sermon, not on this, but about something else. And in my sermon, This month I'm going to talk about one of the points is how you can get to a point in sin where you don't even look at sin as sin anymore. That's what with these guys. Very, very, very extremely dangerous to go so far to not view sin as sin. That's the problem here. Now listen to this. Let me read some more here. But she can say it better than I can say it. Awesome. Page 398, she says, Korah's success with the people increased his confidence and confirmed him in his belief that the usurpation of authority by Moses, if unchecked, would be fatal to the liberties of Israel. Listen to this. Korah. He also claimed that God had opened the matter to him. Come on, man. What? Korah was running around that camp. He was around that camp and he was saying, hey, God revealed this to me. I got a revelation from God. Man, he revealed it to me that Moses and Aaron, they're doing too much. Who's on my side? That's basically what he was doing. You know what's so sad? You know what's really sad though about the story? There are those in the congregation that actually believed him. But what's going on? There were those, he was so influential, he was so powerful, he was famous, men of renown, there were people, they actually believed. Well, maybe what Korah is saying, maybe that's right. Maybe God did reveal it to him. Let me tell you something. Same thing can happen to us. Those children of Israel, they have the same sinful human nature that we have. Same thing happened to us. Now listen to this. This is so awesome. Let's read this in the Bible. Go back to your Bibles. Go back to your Bibles here. Now listen to what happens here. Let's skip down to, you're in number 16. Let's go down to, go to verse 34. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. So they're terrified. They're running. Oh man, the earth might swallow us up too. We have to do something. They're scared. Listen to this. There came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar the son of Aaron the priest, that he take up censers out of the burning and scatter through the fire yonder, for they are hollow. The censers are these sinners against their own souls, lest them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offer them before the Lord, therefore they are hollow, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. Now listen to this. This is in verse 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel, listen to this, murmured, complained against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. Now, really, if I actually witness the earth opening up, swallowing people, then closing back up, I'm not going to think Moses did that. I'm like, oh man, that's God's divine judgment. Let's pray. Let's repent. Let's see God's face. God is, he's serious here. God is not joking. But they said, Moses? They murmured against Moses and Aaron saying, hey, you have killed the people of the Lord and God did it. Now listen to this. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord said unto Moses, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume, listen, consume them as in a moment, and they fell upon their faces. Listen to this. God says, hey, get away from this congregation. What I'm going to do, I'm going to consume them. I'm going to wipe them out. What? God says, I'm going to wipe them out. Now, you have to understand what happened before this took place, though. Listen to this. Page 401. Page 401, Patriarchs and Prophets, she says, Jesus, the angel who went before the Hebrews, sought to save them from destruction. Forgiveness was lingering for them. Forgiveness was lingering for them. Listen to this. The judgment of God had come very near and appealed to them to repent. Listen to this. The judgment of God came. They saw the earth swallow up. They were supposed to repent, turn back to God. This is what she says. A special, irresistible interference from heaven had arrested their rebellion. Now, listen to this. Now, if they would respond to the interposition of God's providence, they might be saved. If they just respond to God's providence, God is saying, hey, turn around, repent, come back to me. If you just respond to my calling, I love Israel, I want you to come back, don't rebel. If you just respond to my calling, you will be saved. Listen to this. But, conjunction again, something's about to change. Something's about to happen. But, while they fled from the judgments, remember the earth was opened up, they fled, they were scared, oh man, God is angry. Through fear of destruction, their rebellion was not cured. Now if you have a disease and it's not cured, you're in big trouble. You can have the disease, you can have the disease, but if that disease lingers, not cured, man, you're going to die. Their rebellion was not cured. Now listen to this last sentence. They returned to their tents that night terrified. They were scared. They returned, the children of Israel, they returned to the tents. God opened the earth, he closed the earth. Men were terrified. They went back to their tents, and she says they were terrified, scared. They returned to their tents that night terrified, but, efforts, but not repentant. Do you get that? You know what she's saying here? To be practical. You know what she's saying here? Practically speaking, you can hear a sermon in church all you like.
You can hear, church, we have 1 minute to wrap.
You can hear a sermon every single Saturday. Good sermon, powerful sermons. You can have a mind, man, I'm scared of hellfire. You can be scared all you like. You can go back home. But if you are not repentant, she says these people were terrified but not repentant. You can be terrified of God's judgment. You can be terrified of hell. You can be terrified of the seven last plagues. You can be terrified of all of God's judgment. But if you are so terrified and you do not repent, so what? It doesn't matter. When God is calling for, just like he wanted sinful Israel, his children, we are too his children. And he wants us to get to a point, but man, when we look at sin, we don't want to go back like the children of Israel. They wanted to go back. We don't want to go back. We want to move forward to the land flowing milk and honey. We want to go move forward to heaven. We don't want to reminisce about sin. We don't want to reminisce about the fish and the garlic and the leeks. We want to stay focused on Christ. Amen? Let's be repentant Christians. I know they're about to shut me down. Let me pray with you for real fast. Father in heaven, I pray a blessing on every person here under the sound of my voice. Bless them and their homes, and I pray that we will not follow the negative example of the children of Israel, but we will move forward in our Christian journey called sanctification to draw closer and closer to Jesus in these last days. We love you so much. In your name we pray. Amen.